In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I come to the Gospel from St. Matthew that is given to us on this fourth Sunday after Epiphany, which in a way continues a theme over the last several weeks, and that is a great trust and confidence in the power and the promise of God, I'm forced to ask myself, is it as easy as God wants us to believe it actually is? Is the only thing that is required of me as I face the world in which we live is to put my trust in the Lord, even when I'm sinking, even when I might be perishing? All I need do is cry out, and the Lord will answer and hear my prayers. He will quell the storms that surround me, provide me the peace that I need, that I might continue to move forward. I do truly want to believe it is that easy. But we also know of the natural inclination to want to do things our own way or provide a measure of comfort for ourselves in the world in which we live. And so it is easy at times to understand that fear that enveloped the disciples. They were overwhelmed, even with the Word Himself present in their midst. Fear, brothers and sisters, is a real thing. Fear can indeed be paralyzing. I think about it in terms now more than I did when I was younger. I think because as I have grown older, there are things that are more important to me. Therefore, I am more fearful about holding on to those things, caring for those things, protecting those realities that have been entrusted to my care. There was a carefreeness with which I lived my life when I was younger. I would not have called myself bold, nor would I have accused myself of cowardice. But somewhere between foolhardy and being afraid, I simply went about the business of living my life. Only now do I truly understand how paralyzing fear can be. As I do ask the question, what is the state and the nature of the church? Or what are the things that are yet again assailing the oratory? Or will we have the freedom to continue to move forward in peace and tranquility, not being worried about being attacked both from within and from without? These are not passing questions. They need to be asked. They need to be answered to the best of my ability. But they are always then coupled with a trust and a confidence in the Lord, a moving forward, not blind, but with prudence, but never allowing myself to remain standing still, ossified in that particular place because I cannot go back, but I also cannot move forward. And because I allow the fear to so well up inside of me, not even God has the strength to move me from one place to another. On a natural level, this makes sense. Remember, brothers and sisters, we are supernatural creatures by virtue of what has been given to us in the sacrament of baptism. And therefore, we have access to and should have access to supernatural realities that will help us deal with the things that we must confront. And so I go back to the question with which I began. Is it as easy and as simple as trusting in God and putting aside our fear? And the answer ultimately is yes. I don't know how that will actually translate into our daily lives. I suspect it will look differently for each of us depending upon what it is that we must confront and the fears that we must overcome. But all things are possible with God. This is what our faith tells us. And in truth, if this is not the case, if God cannot overcome our fears, if God cannot quell those instincts inside of us that might paralyze us, then we have to really ask the next question, and that is, why are we here? And why are we doing this? And why are we engaged in this? Because it admits to no compromise. There is no middle ground. Either we accept the Lord and the true claims that He has given to us and the truths of Holy Mother Church, and we live accordingly, or we do not. There is no picking and choosing. There is no deciding, I will trust the Lord in this, but I will not trust Him in this. Instead, I must trust the Lord in all those times that are good, and it is easy to do so. But more importantly, find my faith and confidence in Him, most especially in those moments when I fear that I might perish. And that fearing that I might perish not only is a spiritual reality, but because of the world in which we find ourselves, is also a material and a physical one. The time has not yet come, but it is certainly on the horizon that it may be required of us that we give our lives and we shed our blood in defense of the faith. And I say that not to frighten, but to prepare, to forewarn and to arm, so that if indeed that time comes, and I believe sadly in our nation it may indeed happen, we do not run in fear. We do not allow cowardice to make us stand still. We welcome any and all things that men might bestow upon us, knowing that God is infinitely more powerful, and that whatever suffering we might endure in this life pales in comparison to the glories of the life to come that God wishes to bestow upon us. Now, these are easy things to preach and proclaim from the safety of my pulpit, but I also can attest that I, like you, must at times work to overcome my fears, never allowing myself to be paralyzed to the point of any type of inactivity. That is the worst thing that can possibly happen, is to do nothing with the one who wants to do everything for us. In truth, the growing in virtue, and in this case, the virtue of trust and confidence in the Lord, the growth in virtue simply comes on one level by doing it day in and day out. There's no magic formula. There is no pill to be taken. There is no programmatic reality that you can embrace that will necessarily do this. You must simply put it into practice. So the next time you are confronted with a situation that may paralyze you, you must call upon the Lord and allow the grace of the Lord to transform your heart. If even now you're dealing with realities in your life that you may feel are paralyzing you, cry out to the Lord for the strength to move forward with Him and in Him and through Him. And wait to allow that grace to truly transform you. Be patient with the Lord as He is patient with you, allowing grace poured out upon grace to work on you and to give you that which you need. Brothers and sisters, in the final analysis, we are either with God or we are not. There really is nothing else for us to choose. And we know of what life without God consists, and that's everything that surrounds us. It is the chaos and the confusion and the despair and the anger and the hatred that has welled up in the hearts of men and continues to spiral out of control. If that is the life you want because you perceive that to be easier, then this is not the place for you. This is the place for those who choose God, most especially in those moments when it is difficult to do so. Most especially when we realize that we are not perfect practitioners. So my preaching to you is not from a posture of having been successful in doing it, but rather continuing to do it even when I know that I might fail again and again and again. We are enjoined to seek perfection as our Heavenly Father is perfect. But the Lord does not penalize us for our striving, nor does He penalize us for our failures, but instead gives us grace through the sacrament of reconciliation and confession, particularly to return to Him yet again, and to start anew in this relationship that He desires to have with each of us. We must be convicted of what it is that we believe, and that our lives must reflect our convictedness. God will give you the grace you need to confront whatever it is that you must confront. Do not have fear, because you know the answer to the question that marveled these men. What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? And the answer, brothers and sisters, is the God-man, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has come into the world to bring us salvation, and by the gift of His body and the shedding of His blood, bringing us that salvation and bringing us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.